Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Hi, I'm Dan for Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers, here to share the easiest way to buy tires. Come to Dobbs. With the best tire brands and the biggest inventory, you'll get your tires the same day at the lowest price, guaranteed. Next time you need tires, get into Dobbs.
Brandon, Kylie, and Tanner Hendrickson. I'm Alex Ferrario. It is BK and Ferrario here on 101 ESPN. The Blues, in the midst of a three-game win streak tonight, get set to take on the Chicago Blackhawks to wrap up this three-game road trip. Puck drop is at 6:30. I've got your pregame with Joe Vitale this evening starting at 5:30. And on the television side, it's going to be a TNT broadcast with the fellas. And we head to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line now and welcome in one of my favorites. Over 600 games played in the National Hockey League, and he is one of the pre and post analysts for TNT. He is Anson Carter. Anson, it's great to catch up with you, man. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Looking forward to this one tonight and looking forward to chatting with you a little bit about it. Let's start big picture with you, though, Anson. St. Louis Blues, an 8-game losing streak, and now in the midst of a 3-game win streak. A lot of people say that's how the NHL season goes early on, but what have been your early impressions of this Blues team?
It's so true. Everything's so streaky early in the National Hockey League this season, that's for sure. But you look at around the league and you see what happened in New Jersey, and they wanted to fire Lindy Ruff, and all of a sudden they're on a heater. I don't think Craig Berube's job was in jeopardy at all in St. Louis, but you know, it was only a matter of time before this team turned things around. They're too good. They have too many core pieces still intact from when they won the Stanley Cup championship. And I just thought it was only a matter of time before they found their game. And you can point towards their captain, Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, he pointed the finger at himself like a leader should do. He said his game has to be better, and his game has been better. But I always look at those, they're young players. You know, you look at Kyrou and you look at Thomas. They're rewarded with massive contracts, well-deserved. And it's up to those two young players now to take ownership of the team, of their games, and be consistent. It's no surprise that they've played better the last few games. And as a result, the St. Louis Blues have gone a little bit of a streak.
Yeah, Anson, I wanted to ask you specifically about Jordan Kyrou. 2 goals in his last 3 games, and it's coincided, his play, directly with the Blues getting back on track. Have you noticed anything specifically with him that has changed in this stretch? And then kind of secondarily, what do you make of the player that he is and the contracts that he got in the offseason?
Yeah, I'm just seeing fewer turnovers. Like, those two young players play a ton. They're a big part of the St. Louis Blues offense and their structure. And you can't have a team that's as disciplined as the Blues have been the last few years, you know, playing loosey-goosey hockey, just turning the puck over and just playing their own style. Their whole game is predicated on 5-man units, and they've had success with that philosophy. So when you have players kind of stepping outside the box, and yes, offensive players get a longer leash more often than not, when those turnovers lead to less time in the offensive zone, a change in momentum shifts, or even goals, it's really crippling for a hockey team. And as for the contract, they're well-deserved. You know, your general manager, Armstrong, he knows exactly what he sees from a day-to-day basis. And I'm sure he communicates with the head coach, Craig Berube, too, and what they're like as people. Because you just don't reward players long-term deals just based off of 1 year or a couple of years. You have to be able to project what these guys are going to be like in the next 7, 8 years, you know, what kind of people they are, what their work ethic is like. Is that kind of money going to change them? And I don't think that's going to be the case. These guys are hockey players. They're focused. They're dedicated. They work on their craft on a daily basis. And I just love seeing young players get rewarded with big-time contracts.
Well, and that is how the league goes, Anson, right? Like, I mean, it's no more of this, oh, we'll give you a bridge contract and then get to your long-term extension. Like, a lot of teams are paying for the future outlook of some of these players, like the Jordan Kyrous and Robert Thomases. And I'm just curious from your perspective as a former player, because you've been in the locker room with a lot of younger guys. I mean, one of your teammates, both of your teammates just went into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and the Sedin brothers, and you were on that team as a grizzled vet when these guys were a couple of years in. What's that like when you have younger players who have such high upside and expectations that go through those struggles early on in the season?
Well, that's why it's important to have vets in the locker room sitting next to them on a daily basis that could either during practice, after practice, on the bus, on the plane, go out to lunch, having those conversations away from the rink. Your coaching staff is so important. And talking all the time when I say this, but he knows because he played. You learn more from the guy sitting next to you than you do from the guy with the cheap suit sitting behind the bench. I mean, they wear more expensive suits now because coaches are being paid more now. But it's by osmosis that you just learn more from watching and having like little conversations that you don't even know that they're teaching moments, but they are. But you also have to be a young player that's willing to take criticism, that's willing to take, you know, suggestions to heart, and willing to work and see things differently. You know, you talk with the Sedins, they were just like that. They're willing and open to having conversations. Joe Thornton, same exact thing. I even go back to Mike York when I was at Michigan State, and York, he came in as a 17-year-old freshman. And I've also played with young players that I won't say any names that weren't open to those same suggestions. You know, they came to the league, they thought, we called them 2-year tenures. Second year in the league, they thought they were in the league for 10 years. And you couldn't tell these players anything. And they didn't last very long either because they weren't willing to adapt or change or listen to little tidbits of the nuggets that a veteran player would pass along that, you know, they use in their own game to help them survive and prolong their careers and have successful careers. They weren't willing to take that same information because they thought they knew it all. And for a lot of players that I'm not going to mention, they didn't, and they're out of their league fairly quickly.
Anson Carter is our guest here on 101 ESPN, and you can watch him tonight on the TNT pre-post and intermissions. He'll be on that for the Blues versus the Blackhawks game again on TNT. Anson, the Central Division is interesting this year because we came into the season with such high hopes for Colorado, for Minnesota, for Nashville, for St. Louis. And you look at the standings right now, and everybody's kind of condensed in that middle range. And as the Blues were going through their losing streak, we were kind of wondering, hey, is the Central Division going to pull away? It really never did. Do you think that left an opening for the Blues this year to be able to make their comeback now?
It certainly did. You just want to stay close. I mean, the Blues know in that room, too, like they're in last place when they won the Stanley Cup that year, I think in January, and they're able to battle their way back. So those guys know firsthand that you're capable of doing it, but you don't want to do that every single season. You want to give yourself the best chance, and you just know that the flip is going to switch, and some of these teams that we thought that would be there near the very end are going to play better hockey during the second half of the year. You just hope that even if they got out of the box a little bit slow, the gates a little bit slow, that they slowly start to find their game. I mean, there's some young teams that got out of the gates fast, and they're starting to slow down a little bit and come back down to earth, and you knew that was going to happen because that success they had wasn't sustainable just based on the team's not ready to take that next step. But a veteran club like St. Louis, I didn't see there's any really need to panic. And I didn't get that vibe from management or the coaching staff there, just based on listening to what they had to say, that they were panicking. It was just a matter of being frustrated that, you know, their whole team wasn't buying in and guys were on the same page. Because if they did buy in, you're going to see what's going to happen. And that's what you're seeing right now in their current winning streak.
Anson, I want to talk about Jordan Binnington with you. He's on a little bit of a hot streak right now in the midst of this 3-game win streak. And, I mean, we've seen the ups and downs of Jordan Binnington going all the way back to that Stanley Cup championship. But from your perspective, how impactful has he been this season for this team? And how impactful do you believe he'll be moving forward?
Now, I love Jordan Binnington. He's a competitor. I know typically I want my goalies to be quiet and have not a lot of excessive movement in the crease. But I like my guy to be fiery. I like my guy not giving up on loose pucks. You saw the competitive fire in the postseason. I know we talked about it a lot in our broadcast in the playoffs. Bottle and Nazem Kadri. I mean, he's a fiery guy, and he's the ultimate underdog. He was way down the Blues depth chart when he ended up coming up to win that Stanley Cup. Billy Husso was above him. Billy Husso had a better year last year than Jordan Binnington. But he just put his nose down and went back to work again. So I know as a player, when you have a goalie that's fiery like that, and you know he can give you your second, third, and fourth extra effort, you're going to do whatever you can to play well in front of him, and you feel bad when you don't.
Final one for you, Anson. Defensively for this team, I think that's probably the biggest area that a lot of people are concerned about, and I think you probably saw the best of that defense against the Colorado Avalanche the other night in that victory. Defensively, does this team, big picture, does this team concern you defensively, or is it just a matter of this is the early portion of the season?
I think it's just the early portion of the season. Because I know as a player, the second half of the season, you become a little bit more focused. Not a little bit more, I should say. A lot more focused on the little details of the game. And then you start to check for offense more instead of cheating and trying to create offensive chances because now you're jockeying for postseason position. And if you're in, you want to make sure that you're playing your best hockey going into the second half. So I'm not too concerned with them defensively. I know from a defenseman standpoint, and I look at their back end. I love when I see teams of big physical defensemen. I always go back to Colton Parayko when they had that run, and he paired with Bullmeister Jay. I thought that pair was the key to why the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. Yes, Oscar Trangelo, you know, was putting up points, and he was allowed to free and roam and do what he had to do, going to playing two-way hockey. But I thought those two players, Parayko and Bullmeister, were given the tough assignment to shut down the other team. Having said that, I think there's more to Parayko's game. I really do. I think he's got more to him, a little bit more upside to him offensively. And I wish he would, like, open his game up a little bit, because you're a big horse like that. I feel like there's more of a two-way game to his game that we've seen so far.
Anson, it's been great chatting with you, man. Look forward to the broadcast with you fellas this evening over on TNT. And look forward to hopefully talking Blues hockey with you again real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And quickly, too, I know you guys have my teammate Panger on quite often, too. I just want to say to the St. Louis Blues fans out there listening, you guys are so fortunate and lucky to have someone like Panger as part of your broadcast. He's an awesome teammate, awesome guy. And whenever chance I get to pump his tires, I try to. So you guys are very fortunate.
We love that, Anson. He's one of our favorites here in St. Louis, and you're absolutely correct. Any chance you get to pump up Panger's tires, you take advantage of that. Anson, thank you so much, man.
Thank you. Anytime.